a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, here we go, a little delayed here. I'm Dutch Jones, you're listening to Stronghold Radio, coming to you from Camp Kahuia, Monday through Friday, from about 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time. That means West Coast time, for those of you who don't know what that is. We are live right now, today, at this very moment. It's about 5:02. It is the 22nd of April, 2011. And we're doing everything we can to stay on the air and to keep this show going. It's hard to keep everything up and to keep everything functioning. We, as you know, we appreciate your help, the stuff you send us. I got tons of email today. I spent a big chunk of the day just going through the email, all the articles and everything people send me to keep my mind in the right place. I appreciate that. I'm starting to create separate files for each of you because it's kind of hard to go through it. I have some people that will send me 20 things a day. On the forwards, if it's something that's in the regular news, odds are I'm going to catch it. So you don't need to forward me all that. Please don't forward me the cute little kittens hanging in the tree or the lady drunk dancing on a table and falls down. Because, I don't watch those things because I don't have enough bandwidth. And, two, it's just a waste of my time. I appreciate you trying to, you know, cheer me up or send a chuckle, but I don't have time for that. When I want to chuckle, I go outside and watch Lou try to weed eat or something. today's Friday. I expect a lot of people. We got seven people in the chat room and an unknown number of listeners. Welcome to our Facebook friends. Welcome to our pod people that tune in later. A great big welcome to those on the Scotty Network. I still don't know if we went out on Liberty Tree Radio last night for our second hour, but I hope we did. I thought it was a pretty good show. I listened to it twice, actually. I had insomnia. That's why my voice sounds so weird. I was up all night long. I was listening to the show, listening to all, every time I said or breathe too close to the mic. But trying to figure out how to make it sound better and making sure the content I put out is accurate. One thing I noticed today on Facebook, it's like, I don't know if you're not on Facebook, this will mean nothing to you until I get to the point of my point. Over on the right column, it always has suggestions for friends because of how they track you and they see what you're into and they see that I'm into survival stuff and militia stuff. So there's always one or two little militia groups over there that suggest I might want to check out. But lately, it's been nothing but survival training facilities and tactical training stuff. And I'm thinking, where did all these guys come from? I've been doing this I've been doing this my whole life. But, I mean, 1990 is when I really got active and it stepped outside my family. You know, my dad, my uncles and stuff like that, where we just survived, you know, did things for survival and started reaching out. And I can't remember a time since 1990 when I've seen this many business-oriented patriots, PAYTRIOTS, you know, for-profit businesses that are out there doing this stuff. And it's amazing to me how many businesses there are out there that are I guess the government is just producing all of these ex-contractors, ex-military guys, and they're teaching stuff now. the market is just flooded with people. You know, you got people buying $75 manuals, so I guess there's money in it, not from our angle of it, and I'm not even sure. You know, how they're going to survive. I mean, I saw like 10 different ones today that I've never ever heard of before, and they all have training facilities, and they're special operators, and, you know, and I'm not doubting the veracity or the quality of their training. It's just like all of a sudden, bang, you know, where were all these people 10 years ago? Well, they were probably in high school. They probably weren't seasoned yet. Sergeant Slade says, I just saw an ex-Blackwater guy walking in Libya with John McCain. I remember him from the show on SOF, guys. Yeah, Blackwater changed its name to XE because of all the legal stuff and dead Blackwater operators' families suing. Yeah, McCain went over to Libya. I'm hoping he gets taken hostage. He's over there with the Muslim Brotherhood right now. And I didn't talk about it yesterday, but the I think it was the cameraman and the producer or the director of Restrepo got killed over there by a mortar round in Libya this week. It's a violent shooting war going on over there, folks. And I'm not really sure how we keep getting away with it. Now they're going to use drones. They're talking about putting troops on the ground, and we sent McCain over there. General Carver says, training facilities with quotes, i.e. 2 acres behind his house, 1 acre of woods, 150-foot pistol range into a dirt mound. You know, that may be it. A lot of these places may just be that. You know, they don't have the abundant resources that we do, which is funny. We have the place. We don't have the people. You know, we'll train 15 to 20 people a month, and we're not doing it for profit. We're doing it just to pay the bills and to keep gas in the lawnmower, but that's funny. Yeah, training facilities. They have a jungle gym out back. He converts the kid's swing set to an obstacle course. You must go up the child slide, slide down, rescue Barney from the base of the slide, zigzag through the swings, go up the tandem pole climb, and then jump off the platform into the sand pit. The sand pit? Well, my kid's toy box place. And then you must cross the obstacle course under fire. My kids will be shooting at you with airsoft.
Teddy bear simulated bomb,
Lou says. That's true. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea where all these places are coming from. Now, obviously, there's a need for the type of training, but it just, you know, what is it? I can't remember the Latin. Caveat. Oh, you know, buyer beware. The Latin phrase for buyer beware. It just escaped me. But you could go out and spend thousands of dollars on this training with these people and not really get anything. Lou's got this really good manual. What's the name of the manual, Lou?
Social Chaos Survival Guide.
Social Chaos Survival Guide. And I'm like, why didn't I write that? Well, obviously it's because I'm lazy. but it's funny, though, because he's going through it and stuff that I know. There's a few things in there that I don't know. But $75, man, I'm amazed at what they're charging for their stuff. And then when I try and charge $150, I can't get enough people for an unarmed self-defense class. Yeah, strange. SocialChaosSurvivalGuide.com. But there's so many out there. Every week people are sending me new things. You know, and the standard ones are out there. But I think Lou put the link in there for that manual. It's pretty good so far. I haven't read it. It comes with 2 CDs. But I think the kind of training that everybody needs really is the stuff that you're going to get hands-on with a small group. Not these big classes. There's got to be a happy medium. But just beware, there's a lot of people out there claiming to be instructors. And we just teach the basics here, nothing advanced, you know. If we're going to do something advanced, we bring in another instructor and just do it ourselves. And we tell people, if you want to learn how to be, you know, a sniper, you need to go take the class yourself. We're not going to do it here. Because we only have a 200-yard range. Is the farthest we can go on a level surface. We can go 300-400 yards, but it's all uphill, which messes with the angle, the dangle, and all that kind of stuff. Those of you that have played with actual sniper shooting, or precision shooting, I should say. You can't say sniper anymore in this. It's considered cruel verbiage, uncaring verbiage. Let's see what else is going on. In Egypt, they're complaining that a Christian governor was appointed to office, and now the Muslims are all in the street rioting and killing everybody. I told you that would happen. I told you guys this would happen. And then we had Lindsey Williams, I think it was last night or the night before, was on Coast to Coast, and he's saying that Yemen's next. Yemen's going to collapse next. And then it'll be Saudi Arabia. The royal family will be put into jeopardy. and they're just going to continue with their house of cards over there and keep driving fuel costs up. Silver hit $50 an ounce, $1,500 an ounce for gold. And it's not because gasoline costs more to produce. And this is a point that I hope you guys understand. It's because the dollar isn't worth anything anymore. The dollar is just not worth anything. That's why we're paying $4.50 a gallon for gas here in Central California. It's not that it's costing them more to get it out of the ground. It's just that the dollar is not worth as much once it gets here. That's fine. You know, we're out working on our cars today, and I'm thinking, the whole time I'm doing it, I've kind of got a bad attitude, and I'm like, what's the point? Why am I fixing these cars up? We can't even afford to put gas in them, but at least they'll be able to run. You know, hopefully. Your prayers are needed for our vehicles. Every one of our vehicles has a major failure.
Yeah.
Every single one of them has a major problem, and we have to figure out which one we're going to license and smog and do all that stuff to drive off the mountain. Up here, it doesn't really matter. The cop doesn't care. I don't think I've had plates on my Suzuki Samurai in 7 years, so... but we need them to get around and do the work and do the weed eating and the brush removal. They're not shrubs when you're in the country. They're called brush. When you're in a city, it's a shrub, which is kind of strange to me. But that's where that's at. Lou's got... Where's that book at? He's got some stuff that he wanted me to share with you guys from the survival... Are you almost done with it, Lou?
Yeah.
It's like the fastest Lou's ever read anything. I'm actually very impressed. Show the stuff, the thing that you wanted me to talk about today. let me take my hat off. I'm getting a headache here. Hang on. I think my hat's too tight. Somebody adjust that. Get this tight hat away from me. Here's some water. Stand by. I'm going to need some more water, please, if you could, Stace. We need to clean out the fridges over here and put some, like, cold, cold water in this place over here. I'm going to move my mic. Okay, folks. How to silently break a window? No, okay, I'm not going to go for this one. Lou's pointing out some stuff in here that he thinks that he wants. Being the producer of the show, that's his official title. He's the producer and engineer. So every once in a while he brings me an idea, and this one's okay. And he wants to share with you this. So if you guys hate it, you can send him the email. Man roadblocks and checkpoints. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. Because let's face it, the odds of staying in one spot and surviving are pretty rare. You're probably going to have to leave and leave your safe house, your stronghold, to go out and get something. Because there's no way you can store up enough food. I mean, ideally, I don't want to be in the food riots. I don't want to be in the water line. I don't want to be in the bread line. I don't want to be in the line to get penicillin. You know, not that I would, but you're going to have to go out eventually. And there's certain tactics. And I'm just going to reach into this manual that we got from these folks at Social Chaos Survival Guide. And you guys can decide whether or not it was worth the $75 and if you should get it. Because we're not going to print it up and send it out. It's how many pages is it?
170
pages, spiral. You know, it's the size of a standard spiral notebook. nice big print for us old guys. There may be times when you need to get past a military or police station checkpoint unnoticed because perhaps the authorities, foreign or domestic, are searching for you. It's not all that difficult with a few little tricks. Choose a time when there are other people present. If you're the only one trying to pass, the guards will be more vigilant. You want them distracted as much as possible, and that's true. High volume's always good to hide in the crowd, hiding in plain sight. But you go there at 2 in the morning by yourself, they're bored, they're going to spend more attention searching your vehicle. Target the end of a shift. You can gather intelligence on your checkpoint prior to passing. You'll be able to notice when the guards are working and when. You may even notice habits in the guards. I'm adding to some of the stuff here. You may find out that one shift is worse than the other. They let a higher volume of vehicles go through, or they let the attractive women go through. Huh?
It's going to talk about that next.
They may let certain people go through. You may find out that they're susceptible to bribes. You may find out that they want alcohol or chocolate or something just by watching them. Just as that Nimrod in accounting at your work never seems to actually do any work, you'll notice that certain guards are lazier than others. Aim for the lazy guards within an hour before shift change, and they'll practically roll you out of a red carpet. See, I already knew this stuff, so I'm sharing it with you anyway. Cross in bad weather. No one likes to be cold or wet, so if it's raining, the guards will less likely to take their time in questioning or inspecting you. I remember working the main gate or different gates on post when I was an MP. You don't want to come out of that guard shack unless you have to when it's cold or blustery or hot, especially if it's an air-conditioned guard shack. Act Like a Big Shot. Now, this one I'm going to see here. I'm cold reading all of this, by the way, and I'm adding my commentary. Oftentimes, people who are trying to bypass someone of authority will be submissive and hope that they'll gain access somewhere if they're really nice. Somehow, the person at the access point is supposed to be like them so much that they'll just let them in. Going in and be intimidated is not going to really work. Actually, the opposite is true, especially for people who have the authority to decide who enters and who doesn't. Think of the velvet rope at a posh nightclub. Their egos are looking for reasons to keep people out. Act like a big shot, and you may get treated like a big shot. Of course, you could get shot. First, dress the part. If you can acquire clothing of someone who would be seen as one of them, do it. If not, see if you can acquire a dress suit. Big shots are always dressed up. Be careful there. You don't want to dress like the enemy and then go in there if you're wearing their uniform or even a higher-ranking officer. You're more likely to be shot once they figure out that you're being deceptive. If there's a line, don't wait in it. Big shots don't wait in line. Walk quickly. Big shots are always in a hurry to get to a briefing, right up to the checkpoint on the opposite side of the line where the guard is checking people through. Act as if you're in a hurry and have someplace to be like 5 minutes ago. Assume they know you and just walk through. Don't make eye contact. Big shots are too danged important to acknowledge worthless peons like those who get stuck on sentry duty. If they try to stop you, act as if you don't need the hassle and they shouldn't be detaining you because someone else who's important is waiting for you. Tell them you're late for the security briefing, not a security briefing, the security briefing, the one the guard isn't important enough to even know about. And what's interesting in that is you should have, let's say you're trying to infiltrate an area to get through it, to do some monkey wrenching or something, you're not just trying to get out. Have some kind of overwatch on you to help you escape if this all goes wrong. This isn't in the book, this is just what I'm adding. Let's say I'm trying to get into an installation to go poison their coffee so I can get their leadership in a meeting and poison them. And I want to be able to get in and get out. But as I'm going through, I screw up, I use the wrong call sign for the day, I use the wrong challenge and answer, our intelligence is wrong, and they start to take me. You want to have somebody in a position, in an overwatch position, that can either create a distraction or take out the sentry so you can get away. So if you're doing this to be part of cell warfare and going and take out key figures, have some people pre-placed in the crowd that can assist you in getting away. Don't just try it alone. Try to acquire an ID card or badge, and I agree with this highly. Strip the enemy soldiers whenever you can in an ambush. Make sure that you can figure out how they do things, the way they wear their insignias, what kind of badges are good during what times of day, what access they have. Warland's asking, what if the guard has poor English skills? Well, it all depends. If we're going up against a bunch of UN guys, they're probably going to put their multilingual people on guard duty too. Especially if their job is to filter and control us, they're going to have somebody who speaks some kind of English. For military installations, you'll need an ID card of some sort that looks official. Try to steal one. And I say try to pillage one off the dead bodies of the soldiers that you're getting there. And if you have a good enough underground, try and figure out who exactly works that checkpoint and get that specific person's ID card. Don't use it while he's working. If you can't, the security officers or private detective's badge would work too. Now, earlier in the book, it talks about carrying a private investigator's badge. I always carried one. I have a bail enforcement badge. I have a private investigator's badge. They make badges for everything just for vanity purposes. I had a VIP bodyguard badge. You can get a lot of these things at police supply shops. Flash your badge as you're rushing by for your briefing, and don't let them get a look at it. I remember one time we had a guy, he tried to get into our base. This was during the first time that we had problems with Libya and we had bombed his houses and stuff. And this guy came up in real hurry, flashes a badge. Well, our sergeant just stopped and was like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? What are you trying to get on base for? His badge was a Star Trek Federation of Planets officer's ID with some kind of weird Star Trek badge. It was similar in color to a military badge, but something caught the sergeant's eye. One, he tried to get through too fast, and the sergeant was better than that. And it was great. They stopped him, and this guy, we still don't know what he was trying to get on for. The higher-ups wouldn't let us do it. It was an Asian dude. But the picture where Spock was on the ID card, he put his picture in there. It was pretty funny, actually. make sure you look official. They got an example here where Dave F. from Milwaukee came through for us again with a great tip by suggesting you join the Civil Air Patrol if you live in the United States. It's an Air Force auxiliary unit for civilian volunteers, and members get photo IDs that look like the one here pictured. Don't want to put in the couple of hours a week to take part in their activities? Pay the small patron-level donation. You'll get the ID card at GoCivilAirPatrol.com and not have to worry about the time commitment. Well, that's why we do the CERT thing up here. Once you complete the CERT class, Homeland Security will give you an emergency services worker ID that says on it you are allowed hereforth to cross police and fire lines in pursuit of your duties. So a little CERT ID. What's this, dogs? Is this going into another section here?
Yeah.
Okay. Next section is talking about riding. But if you want to gain access to official places, I'm just going to give you a synopsis of what they had, their little bit they wrote, and what my experience is, having been a guard and having had to sneak in on all different levels. I've been a private investigator tailing people. I had to get into really high-end nightclubs in L.A. I had to get into courtrooms. I had to get into private meetings to get video of people. The thing of it is your attitude. Stay calm, stay cool. They can detect, just like you can. You see people, and you see people starting to sweat. They get flushed. They're getting fidgety. Be comfortable in what you're wearing. If you're going to wear an enemy's uniform or a costume of some kind, wear it a lot. Get used to it. Don't put it on that day. Remember the folks who got caught dressed up as telephone repairmen in Louisiana trying to get into that Democratic woman's office to put bugs in her phone? You got to know what you're doing. If you're going to dress up as a telephone repairman, you better know telephones, because you don't know if you're in there, you're planting your bugs, somebody's going to ask you to reprogram the multi-line system. You know, do what you can. I found the simplest things are the best. Janitor's uniforms. Remember I've told you guys, go get whatever uniforms that you can at secondhand stores, pizza delivery. Soldiers require food delivery, depending on what level of chaos we're in. You might say, "Hey, I got a bunch of pizzas for the meeting in there. You gotta let me in. You know, I gotta get paid. You gonna pay me? You gonna pay me at the guard? You know." And then, unfortunately, things like that. You know, the Murphy's Law. They may call in to see if you're coming, or usually have a protocol to let them in. But if you just fade in with the part of the work crew, an orange vest and a hard hat will get you really far. You'd be surprised. You'd be very surprised. I've impersonated food inspectors. I've impersonated bail enforcement officers. Well, I was a bail enforcement officer, but I've also impersonated them on specific cases. That's one of the easiest things I ever found, getting in and out. But let's take it to another level. We're in a bug-out situation, and there are roadblocks either put up, just like in the 1930s, if you watch The Grapes of Wrath, the town of Exeter down here, the Ku Klux Klan and the farmers didn't want the Okies coming in, so they put up roadblocks down here, just down the hill from us. And they were all proud of it. There were pictures in there. It was in the movie Grapes of Wrath, but they didn't say it was Klansmen, but it really was. And they didn't want the Okies coming in. They didn't want the Asian farm workers coming in until they wanted them to actually pick the crops or work the fields, because when they weren't picking the fields, there was a high crime risk involved with these populations. People don't want to admit that, but that's exactly what it was. So you may come across these types of things. You're going to need things to bribe these guys. Alcohol is a huge thing. I mean, the odds of them killing you and taking it, yeah, pretty high. But if you go up there with a moderate show of force, and they may go, "Well, we don't really want to rob this guy, but we don't want him to get through free either." You know, you may want to have stuff to trade that you're willing to separate with. The other thing that you may trade is medical supplies. Medical supplies and alcohol. You know, think about World War II, silk stockings, eggs, and chocolate. You know, weird stuff that people want to trade. But the best way for me, and I'm going to say this, the book doesn't say this, to get through a roadblock is to avoid it. Be able to go overland. Have a vehicle that you can get out, cut some fence line, you know, get your lights off, and drive across the field. And you're going to say, "Well, I'm going to drive across the field in the middle of the night. What if there's holes in that field? What if there's a ditch?" Well, if you've pre-run your routes properly and done your homework, you can do that. Warland's saying tobacco. Yeah, tobacco in a wartime situation is worth a lot of money. So if you do your prior planning, the chances of you hitting the stuff is going to be, you'll have a better chance of getting through it. What you've really got to do, though, is get out of Dodge before the roadblocks go up. Do your intel gathering. Have your family trained enough that you're not stuck behind the eight ball when the time comes. Or do like we did, move into the hills. The only roadblock I'm going to face is trying to go back into Visalia if I forgot something. The more you stash, the more you plan now, the less likely you're going to have to go mobile, and you're not going to run into any of these roadblocks. So keep that in mind. Another way is you can. Another way for getting through a roadblock is maybe fake overwhelming power. Fake overwhelming power. If you know that they're monitoring your frequencies, or you find out what frequency they're on for their radios, because if they have checkpoints, they're going to be communicating at a central location. A day or two before you're going to plan to go through, start doing fake chatter. Do a lot of fake chatter, you know, and let them know that you see them. Let them know that you know they're there. Go, oh, yeah, we've got a checkpoint at this grid coordinate. We'll check it out in a couple days. We're going to scout it out. I don't know what they don't look like they're doing anything wrong. And when you pull up to this, if it's just two or three vehicles, let them know that you've been watching them. Go, hey, we've been seeing you guys. We've got a little group over here. I've got about 30 vehicles behind me, but I'm the scout vehicle. You may be able to scare them into letting you through, and then they're waiting for the 30 vehicles that never show up. And these things, again, are all susceptible to Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law. But, you know, you do what you can. If they think, well, we don't want to mess with this one little vehicle. If 30 vehicles are coming, we better let him through. Another thing is, if they have roadblocks, why? You got to figure out why they have a roadblock. What are they protecting and what are they limiting access to? They may be limiting access to just their families and their food supply, and they really mean you no harm, and you just look like a threat to them just like they look like a threat to you. If it's a government roadblock and they're looking for specific people and they've got a list of families that have certain weapons and certain ideals, then you want to avoid it. You just want to avoid it. You need to get good at stashing your weapons for those kind of things that when they do search your vehicle. But I'm here to tell you, the U.S. government is very well practiced at finding what they want. They have dogs that are tuned into just guns, the smell of guns, drugs, money, people. Getting through a government roadblock using deception is going to be really, really, really hard. Avoidance is the best thing, and timing to stay ahead of it is even better. And either that or just overpower it. Overpower it. Find their weakest roadblock that you have to get through if you have to get out, and take it out. And rapidly move through it with your group. You know, stay long enough just to loot the weapons and, you know, candy bars off of the idiots that you had to take out. That's the harsh reality of it. When they have funnel points, they're the same as a deadly funnel in clearing a house. They're not just going to set a couple goobers out. Well, they might, but odds are if it's a professional standing army, they're not going to leave that guard shack uncovered. There's going to be maybe two guys there, but there may be a guy with a belt-fed weapon up on a hillside. I like this, stay out of cars altogether if you can, but some of us have to travel because of the nature that we're in. Somebody trying to cross the desert to get, say you were bugging out of Southern California, you're trying to make it to the Colorado River, you can't do it on foot, you die. You can't physically carry enough water. Just impossible. But if you can, avoid at all costs going through these things. Okay, folks, we're going to be back after the break. We're going to continue to talk about survival strategies. I like doing that on Fridays, I don't know why. Gets me ready for the weekend. I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Stronghold Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Well, it's Friday night and he's pulling them over left and right. He sort of looks like Darth Vader with his gun and his radar and his flashing blue light. He drives a government squad car full of all kinds of hardware to handle the angry mob. And with his badge on his shoulder and his gun in his holster, he'll tell you he's just doing his job. Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns the muscle and might. And he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate light. Because he cannot see your license plate light. Ain't it a frightening feeling when you're behind the wheel and you see him there? Or when you're round in the corner and he's right there behind you in your rearview mirror. Is he a foe or a friend or this public defender we see on our TV screen? Or just some vain, reckless power
watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bangster, he's a badge wearing gangster, collector of the revenue. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun. Seemed like he was part of the dream when we could count on him. But now he sold his allegiance to those socialist schemers and their every whim. Now I've got nothing against him if he's out defending my country, my Bill of Rights. But if he's out there abusing all those powers he's using, then maybe we should turn off his lights. Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns a muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's waving that gun. I said you better be wary if he's had a bad hair day, because he's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. He can be dangerous when he's aiming that gun. Is dangerous when he's aiming that gun.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Okay, we're back. I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're live right now. It's the 22nd of April. It's a Friday, 2011. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. And we're just talking about tactics and strategies for when a New World Order starts to do what it's going to do. If that's the scenario that's going to play out and what we need to be doing. We're talking about checkpoints before the break and how to get around them. And somebody said, well, if the checkpoints go up, they should be too busy dodging sniper fire. I can't remember. I think Warland said that. Yeah, and that's the fact. If militias, real militias, do their job, there won't be any checkpoints. We way outnumber them right now, unless they bring in a bunch of NATO forces. But in the first early days of this kind of thing, they're going to be disorganized, confused, out of their element. We should be able to just do what we want to do. Now, that's if the majority of these militias that I keep encountering are more than what they look like. Right now, I'm running into a lot of cyber tiger militias, just guys that pound out stuff, cut and paste things, sound really good, maybe go to the range once a month and punch holes in paper or play paintball. That's all good and well, but they're not really practicing the basics of small unit tactics, cell warfare, guerrilla tactics. They're just they're doing what they see in the movies. They're screaming Wolverine and putting their weapon above their head. Now, granted, it's not bad. I mean, that's a step in the right direction, but they're going to suffer huge losses when they go up against professional militaries or even semi-professional African or European UN troops. So there's going to be, like I said, a culling of the herd of these phony, I don't want to say phony patriots. what's the, I didn't mean that, guys, but you know what I mean. They're not as hardcore as they should be. I'm not as hardcore as they should be. I mean, look at me. I'm a fat slob that has to use a cane a couple days a week. But as a frontline soldier, they need to be willing to submit to proper training and proper doctrines and how they should fight. So if these roadblocks go up, the local militia should just wipe them out. Boom. Run in, take them out, and disappear into the hills. Every UN troop or federal soldier that wants to fight should be scared to death to stick his head up above the sandbags, because there's some yokel out there with a deer rifle ready to take it off. That's an ideal situation. Lexington and Concord. We're not reinventing anything here. The British troops on their way back to Boston. Oh, man, I can't imagine what it must have been like to be a foot soldier in the British infantry trying to make it back to Boston from Lexington and Concord. Every farmer and his son was out there with a squirrel gun shooting at them. And that's the way it should be. They shouldn't be allowed to do anything. And the next question was, do you think that the soldiers are too brainwashed that they will fight against us? Yeah, some of them are. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you watch the attitudes and the soldiers that I've talked to. But for every five or six of these gung-ho brainwashed idiots, there's five or six that are neutral that don't really care one way or the other. They join the military to get, you know, money for college or get a job. And then there's two or three that are true patriots. And in fact, there are whole units in the military that are oath keepers. You're not going to see, you know, a mutiny of three soldiers per platoon saying, no, we're not going to shoot on Americans. We're not going to take their guns. You're going to see entire units say no. You're going to see a federal tank division against a Patriot tank division standing toe-to-toe somewhere out in the plains. You're going to see divisions like that because the leaders, it's not just the rank and file. It's the good officers. It's the patriotic Christian officers. I'm here to tell you, from what I've been experiencing, most of Special Forces are with us. When I meet Special Forces officers and people that are over there doing one, two, three, four, five tours, they're patriots. They're over there getting their training and cutting their teeth on it and coming back and telling us what they're seeing and how they're going to adapt it to protect the American way of life. So I wouldn't worry about that. The thing I'm most worried about, the scenario that I see happening, everybody likes to ask me this, and I'll share it with you again. Every few months I like to do this, is that America starts to decay, falls apart. The rest of the world says, you're on your own, we hate you. Sure, they send a few UN troops, some human interest stuff. They send some supplies over, but it's our own people fighting our own people. Then Mexico gets the idea, hey, let's come in. Then maybe China gets the idea and comes in because we're weak. And that's what I see happening, something like that. And I see us breaking down into regional sections, you know, God bless the Jefferson Territory, God bless the Confederacy, God bless the People's Republic of Texas, you know, those kind of things, and then little city states popping up. And I see California breaking down into two or three different separate regions. That's how I see it playing out. I'm probably wrong. I haven't had a great vision from God. I just base this on social sciences and how things usually happen. I look at the Balkans and what happened there. The difference is that who always comes in after these conflicts starts and decides who's going to sit where and where the borders are going to be? The U.S. Well, when the U.S. falls apart, there's nobody strong enough really to do it. China might try. Russia, I think they just want Europe. I really don't see them caring, but I could be wrong. But I see it as little cartels and syndicated crime, gangbangers being more of a threat. And the federal government's going to hold what they can, the East Coast, the big cities. And the rest of us are going to be there to fend for ourselves. And they're going to try to figure out a stabilization tactic, negotiations so that we can continue to trade. We're going to have to get a hold of the ports. We're going to have to get a hold of the railways. I'm happy where I'm at because most of the food's produced just 20 miles from here, as far as veggies and things like that, and cattle and all that's right here. This could be an independent nation, just like Jefferson could be an independent territory. Now, let's see. I'm just reading stuff in the chat room. They're kind of going along. I see that the Oath Keepers will fight together. The officers are already... I don't want to say anything about that. Let's just say that there have been long-established links in the military in case something like this happens. Long before I ever joined the military, it goes way back. There have been several times when the civilian government looked like it was going to go communist, that the military was almost ready to step in. You need to study your history, folks. There are several times when people are going, hey, you know, maybe we need to step in and stop these scumbags, these scumminess. And it's happening again. It's happening again. Right now, if Obongo says they're going to put troops on the ground in Libya, you're going to see a mutiny. We may not see it in the news, but there's going to be a mutiny. There's definitely going to be a mutiny if we start sending troops from Iraq, Afghanistan, over to Libya right now because Obongo wants to help his Muslim Brotherhood brothers. Muslim Brotherhood brothers. That's kind of a weird way of saying that, but you get what I'm saying. We're on the verge of a collapse economically, socially, spiritually, everything, agriculturally, and it depends who's big enough to be the opportunistic force. Usually it's the United States. Like in the Balkans, like in Bosnia and Herzegovina, we come in, we, oh, this, you guys all have to sit down, and we have to do all, and we're going to do it our way. Well, there's nobody left to do that. China, maybe. But if you look at it, and I've looked at it, China doesn't really have the Navy to get anybody over here. They can deal with stuff in Asia, but getting troops over here is going to be tough for them. And they may nuke us. I mean, what are you going to do for that? You know, we can't, you know, then we all become chuds or whatever, like Lou is watching today. Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers. General Carver's asking. During Roosevelt's, was it Roosevelt? Let's see, we've had one, two, three, in the last century there were three coups that were investigated by Congress because they almost triggered. The military is getting ready to step in. Once after World War I, the veterans turned on Washington. Marched in the streets and we're going to take it. Two, during the Great Depression, there were groups of military generals that were going to overthrow the government. There were congressional hearings on that. And then in the 1960s, remember Eisenhower talking about the military-industrial complex? He uncovered that coup, and rather than get killed, he went out front and just started talking about it. And that's just the ones we know about. That's just the ones we know about. So, the Nixon administration, there was stuff going on then. There's all kinds of things out there where military leaders get together. I don't know if any of you ever had the chance to go to the Pentagon, but it's a nation unto itself. You know, they always say, we serve the civilian leaders proudly, and we would no. They have nothing but contempt for civilian leaders. I'm here to tell you, I was part of the military, and I had the same attitude when I was in. You know, I'm like, great, we got to do what they say. People are talking about coups during Clinton's time, all that stuff. So the military has not always been the loyal lapdog of the tyrants in the White House. During the War of Federal Aggression, there were times when Lincoln's own generals were like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Just let them secede, let them go. And he had to quell that with violence. It's scary stuff. People don't realize what goes on behind closed doors on the level of keeping a nation together. It's a miracle we haven't been in more civil wars. And again, I'm going to point out, civil war is not the proper term. The Confederacy was an independent nation. It left under legal documentation. It left the Union legally, and it was invaded by the United States of America. So it wasn't a civil war. It was a war of federal aggression upon its neighbor and a legitimate nation. But, you know, who cares, right? The victors get to write the history books. But that's just the way it goes. So back to the point on hand is that what do I see happening in America? That's it. I see a complete collapse. Not quite road warrior, but not also a bunch of UN troops here. There's so much chaos going on in the world. Who's going to send troops? I mean, they're talking about Mexican troops going to Libya. Oh, yeah, that's going to help. They're probably going to send a couple hundred. I didn't look at the actual article because I started laughing.
¿Qué? 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 ¿Qué?
I just, sending Mexicans to Libya, I mean...
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Look at their own country.
Yeah, they're not even, they can't even control their own. And most of the UN troops doing stuff in Africa are other African countries that, you know, I don't know, look at the Ivory Coast. You know, look, who's going to send troops here? Everybody's worried about the UN coming in, coming in and dumping on us. How are they going to get here if NATO isn't around to supply them? You know why NATO won't be around? Because if we collapse, we won't be helping NATO. Whose ships, whose planes do they always send in? Who is the backbone of every UN and NATO event that's bigger than, you know, say an airlift for anything? I mean, even Haiti. Right? It's the United States is the, what do they call that? The linchpin of this whole thing. It's the keystone. The whole world will follow us and collapse. What will happen to China when America doesn't buy its junk anymore? When the dollar is worth nothing, what are we going to trade for our Walmart junk? And what are we going to trade for, you know, all that garbage that China dumps on us? What are the Arabs going to take for their oil when the dollar is worth nothing? This is going to be a global collapse. This is going to be unlike anything that's happened in the world since maybe Rome fell. And yeah, I'm comparing us to Rome, because if they were going to write the Bible today, we would be the new Rome. I don't know. I guess the Jews would still be the Jews and stuff, but we are the new Rome. And not since Rome fell has an empire collapsed in on itself like we're and we're going to be 10 times worse because we're much more global. You know, we're the biggest empire that the world has ever seen. And we are an empire. Anybody that doesn't think that hasn't been reading the newspapers or studying history. Now, we've been hollowed out. We've been skeletonized by sending our industry overseas and our troops everywhere, but we are still an empire. And I never hooked up the phone, so I'm not going to give the phone number out. I don't even think I have the phone. Yeah, I don't have the phone, so I'm not going to give it out. Nobody calls anyway. I don't know why I went through all the trouble to get a phone. It's only for the guests to call in. But I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down here. The skills that you're going to need are going to be pretty diverse, but the more you stay in a city, the more skills you're going to need. The greater chance you have for your family, your group, whatever it is, your militia to survive is to get out of Dodge. To get out of Dodge before the heat gets turned up. We're going to lose a lot of people just out of arrogance. We're going to lose a lot of people just out of unwillingness to see the writing on the wall. Now, there will be some people that say, I can't leave my children. I can't, you know, I can't leave my grandma. I can't leave my mom. I understand that. You know, God needs martyrs too. But you've got to understand that you've got to read the writing on the wall. So to overwhelm yourself with saying, well, they're just going to bring in UN, Chinese, set up roadblocks everywhere, isn't necessarily true. Look how big this nation is. They can't even quell riots effectively. And I'm here to tell you, if people had gotten really mad during Katrina, they would have overrun anything the federal government and the U.S. Army put in down there. Anything. Only a few neighborhoods rebelled and said, no, you're not getting my guns and you're not coming in. And those were the microcosms of hope for me, where the good old boy said, nope, we're keeping our guns. You just keep moving there, Mr. Federal Agent, or you're dead. It goes back to what I say about Waco. If they'd have just come out of that parking lot of that church and blasted every ATF agent there, things would have gone a little differently. I really believe it. I don't think as many civilians would have been killed, because they would have been like, holy crud. The yogurt's hit the fan now. We better negotiate with these people because they're serious. Dutch, my family has nowhere to go. We have no relatives out in the country, and we don't have the economic assets to buy land now. Well, I couldn't buy land either, General Carver, so I hooked up with a group of people that had 22 acres. I have skills to trade. You can't buy, you know, I don't know anybody that right now that can buy their own land. You know, do what you can find. Find a group. Find a retreat. And actually, if you just have a good bug-out plan to some place where there's government land that nobody's using but you know it's there, you don't have to pay a penny for it. I've talked about mining claims. Go get a mining claim somewhere for $150 a year. You know, there's got to be stuff like that. There's got to be a plan for everything. God's not going to, at least I don't know of any example, where God's just going to say, no, you're going to stay in the ghetto and die. You're just going to stay in the ghetto and die. I think it proves the point. I can't think of any example for today where that would be beneficial for the cause. Even if you do nothing more, General Carver, then make sure that your vehicle is prepared and that your gear is ready to go. And you just haul butt 50 miles into nowhere and take up structure at some state park or something. General Carver saying reach out to the local militia. Indiana Militia Corps are in the area. However, I would assume that more public groups like that are being watched. Well, you're being watched right now. Do you think there's any American that isn't on the internet that hasn't posted an opinion, that hasn't sent an email that's not being watched? What would you rather be, alone and be watched, or be with a big group of people that are like-minded and being watched? I'd rather be with a big group of like-minded people. Not necessarily a big group, but a small group. So don't let that scare you. Don't let that deter you. I mean, the Church of Kauai, you know, everybody, they know where we are in the movement. People I don't even know about, that don't even know I'm here, are saying, hey, you should check out the Church of Kauai. I'm like, yeah, I'm here.
That's awesome.
I got like two of those today. Hey, man, you ought to check out the Church of Kauai. Yeah, I think I've heard of them.
Okay.
So I don't worry about that. I mean, especially if, like, in some of these Texas militias and stuff, they got 200, 300, 400, 500 people. They're not going to round them all up, are they? It's the little things. It's the little. Who do they come after first? Little groups. Randy Weaver. Waco wasn't so little, you know, 74 people, I think it was. Still small. All centrally located in one spot. They go after small groups first. There's always something you can do moving forward in the cause to prepare your family. There's always something you can prepare. Stashing something somewhere. Finding a chunk of... I don't know if you have Bureau of Land Management property where you live. Just go find a campsite someplace. Other people are going to be there. That's the risk. So it's better just to go primitive land area. And find someplace, an island. Can you find an island somewhere on one of the Great Lakes? There's got to be something you can do. An old mine shaft somewhere. Deserted town. Find a ghost town. There's so much. Everybody, I'm thinking of all the examples in my head of what other people have done. I know people in L.A. that have done little more than located abandoned homes that are out in the middle of nowhere. And that's their bug-out site. You know, especially now with all the foreclosed homes and farms and things, especially in the middle America. You know, what do they call it? The Midwest? Oh, man, you could find... Because the corporate places bought up huge tracts of land. They left the houses there to do nothing. Go find one of those homes. Scout it out. Because I think you said you were in Chicago somewhere? South of you. Illinois. Go down to Buckley, Illinois. I'm going to give away a little bit here. There are huge tracts of land out there that have been purchased by major international firms. But they left the houses. They didn't bulldoze the houses. My brother in Colorado lives in a house. The land was purchased by the Water Department of Denver, DWP, Denver Water and Power, because they wanted the water. So they let the farmland, you know, 180 acres, go fallow so that they could buy that water allotment to send to Denver because there's a shortage of water in Colorado. But there's a three-story farmhouse there. They don't want it to be taken over by gangs, so they rent it to my brother for $250 a month. These places are all over the place. Scout them out. You can find them. You've got to find these places. Smaller towns. If you live in Chicago, find a smaller town that's not part of the suburb system.
Get out.
You know, find a smaller town. You know, go Mayberry on it. You know, and get to know people there. Tell people your intentions. Start going there on weekends, hanging out, getting to know people. And, you know, and they're going to say, what do you do? So, well, I'd like to move here, but I just don't have the resources. But, you know, I really like the lifestyle here, and I want to come here and be part of what you're doing. Volunteer at a small town. There's so many things you can do. That's what I've done. And nothing I'm telling you, I'm not making anything up off the top of my head. These are things that other people have done. We had Pastor Thomas McConnell left Fort Collins, Colorado, goes to Rayville, Missouri, to a ghost town. Relocates there, gets other people to move into this ghost town. They take over the newspaper. He runs for mayor. They start a little industry there, and they had no money at all. They had zero money. They're paying rent in Colorado. They might as well be paying rent in Rayville somewhere. Well, instead of paying rent, they were able to buy something for the same price that they were paying rent for. Kauai, okay, in the last few minutes here, I'm going to put in a plug. You know, there's places to rent here in Kauai.
So 1 hour?
Yeah, we're just going to do 1 hour. We're only going to do 1 hour today. Those folks that are still in there, if anybody comes in from Liberty Tree, just tell them we're doing an hour. I don't have enough. I don't want to bore you with 2 hours of bloviating. And I'm not going to, you know, if I'm not going to get calls and questions. You can find it out there. I was looking at land at the Salton Sea. It was like 10 acres for $1,000, but I went down there and it's not very good survivability. But somebody could buy it, put a container, bury it, and temporary stopgap, you know, just to get out of the violence. You can see people coming from a long way off at the Salton Sea. So don't be disheartened. There's always something you can do. There's always something you can do. And you've got to team up with other people. Don't be afraid of, if I join a group, everybody's going to see me. Don't have fear. Don't have fear in that. It's much easier to pick you off if you're alone, especially if you're the only male in your group. You can't stay awake 24 hours a day. You can't provide all the food. You can't provide all the firewood. You can't hunt. You can't garden. You can't do everything for everyone in your family 24/7. You'll die. You'll drop dead of a stroke. So you need to have 3 to 4 families to cover the workload. Think how the pilgrims and the separatists did it. They didn't come over one at a time and just go out into the wilderness. No, they came up 40, 50, 60, 100 at a time. And at first they tried to live communally and that didn't work. But so they shared the load. There's a difference. And we've talked about that. The land up here, you can come up here and do a mining claim right on the river for $145 a year. And when everything falls apart, who's going to tell you to leave it? You come up here, you dig a mine into the side of the hillside, there's a river right there. In fact, all the mining claims that we've looked at are on the river here in California, here at Cahuilla. So you guys come up here, do a mining claim up the road here on BLM land, stash all your stuff, rent a little house down here for $700 a month. Granted, if you've got a set income, jobs are hard to find here, though. That's the hardest thing. That's why we're always going paycheck to paycheck, as it were, weed-eating job to weed-eating job. But right now, if this thing sets off tomorrow, we've got enough food that we can work to tend the garden. We can obtain the animals. We've already got a strategy for capturing some pigs and things like that. We're good to go. Nothing's going to change for me. The only difference is I'm going to get some really cool guns, some really cool body armor off the bodies of the people that decide they're going to come and take stuff away from me. That's the difference. The only thing that's going to change is I'm going to get better gear because I have all my coupon guns and all my ammo ready. And I've got a handful of people that I trust. A handful of people I can, if I get wounded or I get hurt, I know they're going to take care of us until I can get back on my feet. What happens if I mean, it could be something as simple as stepping on a nail and getting a foot infection. You're by yourself. What are you going to do? But don't let your mind defeat you. That's what always happens. The body and the soul can do a lot of things, and the mind starts going, it starts negotiating. We need to stop. We need to not do these things. We need to just go turn ourselves in. It's easier to go back to Egypt. Don't go back to Egypt. Believe in God's promise. Folks, this has been the Dutch Jones Radio Program on the Stronghold Radio Network coming to you from Camp Cahuilla. Please go to dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info. There's a pitch in there. Nobody's pitched in for a while. We need your financial support to keep this going. We enjoy doing it, but the electricity bill, the internet bill, those types of things, keeping the computers up and running, we have to do everything we can to keep this going, and we can't afford to do it. The $700 a month that we get and the work that we get, I pay auto insurance, health insurance, everything that you have to do. And to pay the extra to do the radio show just isn't cutting it. So we need you guys to kick in something on the PayPal there. If you don't want to use the PayPal, you can send us Post Office Box 31. It's still listed there, right, on the website, Lou? Okay. You can send us, put it in a bar mitzvah card and send it in to us. We prefer cash. And we'll put it to the cause and maybe reimburse us for the money that we put forth to keep this thing running. So thanks for tuning in. You guys have a good weekend. I only did an hour because, like I said, I don't want to bore you with just making stuff up. I want to give you good meat. I don't want to water it down. And I'm not going to just blab on for another hour. So, folks, remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone. But he is requiring, asking, allowing you to stand in the gap. God bless you in all you do in the holy cause for liberty. Good night, and have a pleasant weekend.